Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that ye see a division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it is declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of glory, that they have contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you say, I am of Paul, and I am Apollos, and I am Cephas, and I am Christ. By verse number 10, what does beseech mean? Any hands on it? Yes, Tammy.
Beg.
Beg, that's right. Beg. And he's beseeching. Who is he talking to here? Any hands on that? Who is he talking to in verse number 10? Yes, Pastor Dan. You got something?
This is got a listener in York, Pennsylvania. Or viewers. I'm listening in, sending a wave.
Sending a wave. Let's wave to dear Anna. Anna Marie Wade. Good, Anna Marie. Our granddaughter. This is the daughter of Pastor Dan Tammy. That's good. I thought she had to work tonight. Oh, she's not.
She's got all over
the ground. Oh, she's got. Oh, that's good. Hey, okay. We made it. All right, so 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. Who is he writing to? And hands on that. Who is Paul writing to here? Yes, to Arthur.
He's picking this up. Well, God has no respect to Christians. Yeah. So it's going to turn to whosoever with me. Like me, when you speak, we got even to everyone in the Lord in Christ.
But in this verse 10, who's he speaking to here?
He's speaking to the church of the Corinth.
Okay, exactly. Pastor Dan?
Yeah, the brothers and sisters.
The brethren. The brethren means what? That's 10.
Verse 2. That's the Church of God,
which is
at Corinth.
Church of God at Corinth, that's right. And in verse 10, he calls them brethren. By brethren, do you mean society of the eagles? Or?
Christian.
It's Christian believers. The ones who are genuinely saved.
Church of God
according to Church of God in the first chapter. Verse 2. So they're believers in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He beseeches them. What does he ask them, beseech them, and beg them to do? Verse number 10.
The same mind.
All right, have
they all speak the same thing.
That's right.
Have the same judgment.
That's right. So it's important in a local church, they don't always agree with everything. Based on the doctrinal position of the church, the Bible, and issues like that, we should be the same mind, be united instead of divided. Apparently they weren't. All speak the same thing. No division. What would a division be? Any hands on that? What would a division be? Yes, Tammy?
Well, it started with disagreement.
All right.
It causes, like, groups of people here and groups of people here with different opinions.
Right. For instance, we had a division years ago, you remember, in regard to one of the preachers that preached, and one of our people said, you can't say anything about anything except the part of the epistles of Paul, Romans and so on. But the Peter's out, and just Paul, that's all. Remember, we had a division, and the person's gone. I'm not in the church anymore, but there's not a division. There's the doctrinal divisions. So he actually be no division among you. But what does he request and beseech them to have in verse number 10? Pastor Dan?
To join together with unity.
And unity.
Same mind, same judgment.
What is the difference between the same mind and the same judgment, do you think? Are they the same, or is there a distinction between the mind and the judgment?
Well, I would say that the same judgment would be your conscious awareness.
Awareness.
All right,
that's good. The 10?
Well, the same mind would be the unity in Christ and comparing the scriptures and
saying
judgment by the decisions
that
come from that mind.
Decisions that come from the mind,
you pass it in? Yeah, one uses their mind to make judgments. So, the Bible believing Christian brethren at the Church of Corinth have the same mind, then they can come up with the same judgment. But if they have a divided mind, then the judgment will be divided.
Divided judgment, that's right. Then in verse number 11, somebody told Paul something. Who was it that told Paul something? What did he tell them? What did they tell him? Pastor Dan's got something Good.
It says, Pastor, it's from Maine. Pastor, sending warmest greetings to you and all our BFT church family. Thank you for tonight's Bible study. We rejoice and give thanks to God. And Mrs. Waite's cancer is now free. God bless you all. In His love, Carl and Vicki Albert. Hold on. Are you?
That's from Carl Vicki Albert from the state of Maine. Let's wave to Carl Vicki Albert, state of Maine. Thank you, Carl Vicki. And call us in if you wish to and give some comments on these verses anytime you can. Appreciate it. So, somebody told Paul something, and who was it, and what did they tell him? In verse 11. To Pastor Dan.
House of Chloe.
House of Chloe. Why?
There's contention there, fighting on
that. Fighting. Now, one other word that we have in verse 10 that is similar to contention.
Verse 10?
Mm-hmm. The
division.
Preceding verse. Yes, 10.
Division.
Division. So division, contention. What would a contention be? What is the, what type of contention would it be? Yes, Tana?
An argument about doctrine, or if it be about something else.
It would be something else as well. Is Arthur?
Your own opinion.
What is it?
Their own opinion.
Their own opinion. Opinion. Their own opinion. Yes, that's possible. That's better than that.
Disputing, you know.
Disputing.
Disputes.
Yes, Yvonne.
About something.
Arguments in the choir.
Yes.
About this one not being
the same. Right. That's right. Could be somewhere where people dress them.
I think it may be a doctrinal contention.
It'd be a doctrinal.
That's a doctrinal contention for whom they're identifying with.
Mm-hmm.
This one group of people identifies with this individual.
Uh-huh.
Other group of people identifies with that individual, and the third group of people identifies with this individual. A fourth group identifies with that individual. So you have contentions among the four groups as far as who is the real leader. Their real leader. Mm-hmm.
And so that brings us up, does it not, to verse number 12? How many different groups are mentioned here? One, two, three, four. Okay, Paul. I mean, ten. Four, you got it. Four, that's right. Paul, bless them. Now, these are the people. What does it mean, saying? One is saying, I am of Paul. What does that mean? I am of Paul. What do you think that means? Any hands on that?
That Paul
loves
the Lord.
Maybe. Could be. What else?
They're following Paul.
Following Paul, okay. Following Paul. Paul said, Arthur?
I said, what Paul was mostly saying, Paul argued, is mostly that in following Paul, he was trying to say, you shouldn't follow him, but mm-hmm. your mind should be on Christ.
On Christ.
Following
right.
Christ. He, Paul's main mission was to exalt the name, the will of Christ, and what he was about.
That's true.
To set upon on earth.
So, that's right. So Paul was the first one. Who is this Apollos Paul? And hands on that one. Who is Apollos? Tammy?
Well, he was mentioned in the book of Acts, I think.
Uh-huh.
And he was someone in Ephesus. And mm-hmm. it seemed that Priscilla and Aquila came alongside him because he was only preaching the baptism of John.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't have full understanding of what he was teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And they taught him, showed him the way more perfectly.
That's good. Fine.
I was wondering if I forgot
who Apollos.
If he was
the
speaker, but
I've
forgotten what I was
going to
say.
I think he did speak, but he didn't have the knowledge of the thing, right? That he was. Yes, Sergeant.
I just want to say one thing. Uh-huh. A scripture came to mind. How beautiful is brotherhood to God and unity, harmony?
Yes,
scripture.
To unity.
And mostly when our heart is not right. As it says in Matthew 5:8, bless all the pure heart for they to see God. Mm-hmm. And John 4:24, where it says, God is spirit, and they that worship him is different in spirit and truth.
Yes.
When we have the same mind and
amen.
The same of the same spirit and have our mind stayed on right. Jesus, that's when peace will come in.
Yes. Unity is yeah. important. So that's Apollos. Who seek us? Any hands on that? Yeah. Dan? Peter, that's Cephas. Now, why would they say they're Cephas? Who would be, I guess all of them sort of important to Apollos as one, but Paul is an apostle, Cephas or Peter's apostle. And who's, yes, Dan?
Well, maybe they were Jewish.
Yeah, could be.
And so they were looking at Peter, the apostle from the Jews.
Yes, it could be, it could be. Who's this fourth person that some say that they're with for?
Right.
Yes. Now, what might this be understood as? Who do you think of the four thought they were the highest and the best of all?
Of Christ.
Maybe of Christ. Pastor Dan?
Who are the four people that are following?
Who are the people they're following when they say, I am this, I am this, I am this? What group would maybe be the highest at that time?
But they were right. They needed to follow Christ.
They needed to follow Christ, that's right.
And the other people needed to start following Christ and not following all these other people.
Yes. Some have indicated that when somebody says, I am a Christ, you fellows are just worshiping men. I got the real thing. Well, that's true. We should follow Christ. But maybe they did it in such a way, sort of a snotty way, just to all the rest of the people, just down the other people. If I...
I see the people that led into the Lord, some of the power, some of the Jesus, some of Christ.
Well, it's possible, but I don't know if it could be. I don't know.
So
they
what are they arguing about? Not Corinth.
Probably not in
Corinth. Not Christ. No. Christ couldn't have led any in Corinth before.
These are men that are listed, individuals that they're following. Would that indicate there's contention among them? Yeah.
Isn't Apollos a preacher in Ephesus?
I think he was.
So that was in Asia Minor.
Right.
So unless maybe some of these people were transplants, and they used to live somewhere else, sort of like Lydia.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Some of these people came to Corinth.
Yes, but it's like the church there at Haddon Heights Baptist Church. We were there for 10 years. I don't know how long it's been, maybe more. And there was a following, a group that was on the right side in the front, the right side in the back, left side in the front, left side, and they just talked. With their 19 years.
They just talked,
but they didn't sort of mesh. And it seemed like there was division. I don't know. Strange. But anyway, this was like this. It's a local church like this. This is probably a small church. I don't know the size of it, but it's bad to say, I'm following this, I'm following this. You know, follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the right attitude. Not to be snotty about it, which it might have been the case. Who knows? Then let's read verses 13, 14, and 15 together. Well, shoot.
So in this instance, they did not have the same mind. That's what they made faulty judgments. And their faulty judgments called to a division among them.
Right, division among them. Now, what do some people...
A division which led to contention.
That's right. What do some people do when there's a division in the church? What do some people do in the midst of these divisions? Yeah.
Disputes.
Sometimes they leave. They just walk out.
Because they don't want to be in a fight.
I remember years ago we had in our church a person that was just tremendous. That was tremendously interested in King James only and inspired it. In other words, the Ruckman position. And I talked to the person, he's a man, and I couldn't convince him. He was angry, so he just left, which is fine. And then he got on the internet, started writing me nasty emails. Just a horrible situation. I finally just didn't bother answering. It was too late. But some people are cantankerous, you know. But there's division here. And so let's read verse number, 13, 14, 15 together. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Christus and Gaius, lest that should they say, I baptized in my own name. And I baptized the house of Zephyr, 14. No, no, you're not sure. 13, 14, and 15. All right. So there's 13. That's a good question. Is Christ divided? What do you think that means theologically?
This is
verse 13.
Verse 13. But the Corinthians only had divided Christ, or graphic of what happened. when the church body is divided, when many churches and styles of worship available, different, like the world is today, mm-hmm. it's coming in the last days. They want a universal thing,
mm-hmm.
a universal, different minds, different faith, different mm-hmm. ideas, different ways. But for me, there's only one, and mm-hmm. one, and that's Christ.
Pastor Dan?
So the answer to the question is no, Christ is not divided.
Right. Not divided at all. He's just the same. Perfect God, perfect.
The Christians could be divided, but Christ is mm-hmm. not divided.
Amen.
Christ is not divided. All the doctrines that they have in the Scripture are very true doctrines and not divided. Then the question was asked. What's the question in verse 13 is asked here? Two questions. Yeah, 10.
Was Paul crucified for you?
And we know that's a very, very simple answer. Of course he was.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. And then what's the next question?
Is Christ divided?
Well, even before that, verse 13. We baptize the name of Paul. What name do we use when we were baptized by immersion after we're saved and born again?
In the name of the Father and the Son.
Father, not Son, Holy Spirit. That's right, the Trinity. Pastor Dan?
So the answer to all three of these questions is no.
That's right, no.
Absolutely not.
That's good. Christ is not divided. Paul is not crucified for you. And you were baptized in the name of Paul. No, no, and no. That's good. Then in verse 14, what does Paul admit here? What does he say about baptizing?
Bob? He only baptized two people, Christmas and
the
other. Remember a few more.
Pardon me?
So later on, he may remember a couple more.
Well, I'm wondering whether that's nominative or objective. I think Crispus and Gaius are the ones that baptized. I say that because in the next verse down here, I baptized also the household of Stephanus, besides our nominative. Maybe it is he baptized these two and he baptized the others. All right. I should check my Greek to see what is
accusative
or nominative.
So you think that Christmas
is answered? Well, you see, that's it. I should have checked it. I thought about it, but I forgot to check it. And Anna's not here. Go to the Greek and check it for us.
I can get the book for you, but I can't check.
Okay, yes, Arthur.
One thing comes to mind is Ephesians 4:5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
That's right. And we believe that baptism is baptism of the Holy Spirit, because if we say baptism of water, what are the three modes of baptism we have today? Pastor Dan?
Pouring.
Where is the little baby testament.
Immersion.
What's the second one?
Immersion.
What's the third?
Well, sprinkling is pouring, not baptism.
That's right. But some people call it
immersion, triune immersion, forward immersion, and backward immersion.
Well, that's true. That's part of the immersion. But they call sprinkling baptism. That's what they say is a baptism. They call pouring baptism. So, Vine, you can't find
it?
The baby one. Yes, that's it.
Oh, okay.
Give us the pastor's answer, aren't you? Or he can find it. It's small print.
Is there a bigger one
from? No, I think that's not it. Probably a bigger one. First Corinthians chapter 1. Isn't that an interlinear?
What is interlinear, yeah.
Yeah.
Did I do something wrong?
No, it's
fine.
Interlinear.
I don't know one thing from the other.
Verse 12.
I thought it was supposed to be bigger than that.
Is it Sifan or Sifas? Rather.
I don't think it's confusing.
Okay, well, honey, bring it up to me then. I thought that.
Okay.
It's real. I'll bring it up.
Oh, sure.
I'll get it.
Okay. 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 It's real tiny print. Too bad. 1 Corinthians 1 and first number. What? Number? 13?
Verse 14.
Verse 14, okay. 1:14. Just take a look at it. 1:14. Right, that's the other page over here. One page back. 1:14. 1:14. Okay. Brethren. What? Cross Philippians. I got the wrong verse. The wrong whole book. You got to find my Corinthians here is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14.
Yes.
Okay. Let's go back here. I certainly miss Lilana, don't I? She get that looked up and give us the answer without any problem. 1:14 here is. Thank God we've got this. Aha. It's accusative, Crispon and Gaion. So he did baptize Dragon. That's right. Baptize these two. Plus these other ones. Yeah, he did baptize them. See, it's a direct object. Because the accusative case is a direct object case. If it's a nominative case, that means they baptize them, nominative, as a subject. But this is an object. He baptized them, direct object of baptism. All right. So he wasn't for baptism. Then that's 14. And in verse, did we read 15 yet? Okay. What would be true? Why didn't Paul like to do a lot of baptizing?
Because it deposited a different belief.
In verse number 15, though.
He didn't want to keep them sad. I don't want to fall.
Baptized in my name. That's right. Baptized in my own name. That's right. So these are things about baptism.
Then,
something like that. They may have accused him of that. So, but now there's different kinds of interpretation of one faith, one Lord, one baptism. I believe that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the only unity, because if you say one baptism, that means it's not unity, but there's unity in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as it mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12:13. By one Spirit, we all baptized into one body, whether it be bond or free, whatever, and all drink of the same Spirit. Then let's read the verses. Let's see, we read 15. Let's read 16, 17, and 18 together. And I baptize also the house of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptize any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Now to us which are saved is the power of God. My verse 16. Who else did he baptize in addition to Crispus and Gaius? Tammy?
The household of
Stephanus. Household of Stephanus. So maybe more than one, maybe the wife and the husband, maybe the children were saved. Now, do you think these people were saved before they were baptized?
Yes,
yes, that's the scripture, isn't it? In the book of Acts, there's four, five, or six different instances. He believed in Christ, was baptized. Believed and was baptized. Always genuine faith must proceed. But is that always the case? Is that always the case?
No.
A lot of people are lost and still baptized. Yes.
No, I was just going to say, like I was saying earlier, a good example is, again, is the eunuch that was on that, was on saved and on
yes.
Acts chapter 8, verse
right.
30, 37.
Yes.
And if you must. You must be born again.
I said, what must hinder me to baptize you? Believe that Jesus Christ, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he was baptized. He was saved first and baptized. But a lot of people are not attending.
Same thing, we were looking at Acts 16 today
yes.
in class. The Philippian jailer,
yes.
he believed and
was
baptized.
All his health, because they also trusted the Lord Jesus
Christ. Oh, yes. I read the book of Mark chapter 4, where it says, they have eyes, but they cannot see, they have ears, but they cannot hear. Lest at any time they should be converted and their sins be forgiven.
Yes.
So there must be a change of conversion. At first you must, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. There must be the word of God about it. Being born again, not of corruptible seed,
right.
but incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever.
Now, some people, some churches believe in baptismal regeneration. How would we define that? Any hands on that? How would we define baptismal regeneration? That's that?
The baptism actually saves.
And what is
that? The rite of baptism saves.
That's right.
Yeah.
Church of Christ does that. That's right. Some have put it in this word. I like these words. Those people who believe baptism by immersion. They got the motives right by immersion, but if they think it's going to save them, they go down to a dry center, go back to a wet center. They're still lost. That won't save them. But that's what they do. A lot of these churches believe it. And so he baptized Stephen. We're on 16. We answered. We're on 17. And it's around the run. We're at 16. Yes, he baptized these two others, Stephen and Stephanus. He doesn't know anything. And then we finished 16. So what was the purpose of the Lord's calling of Paul in verse 17? Why did he call Christ Paul? Yes, Arthur?
The purpose of Paul, the main part of his mission was to preach the gospel.
Preach the gospel, exactly. What chapter in the Bible, in the book of Acts, does that come into? What chapter? What chapter does Paul's conversion come into?
Acts 9.
Acts chapter 9. And what two places did he rehearse that and repeat the conversion in Acts?
Was it
26? I think it's 26. I think he also 22. Walked 22 and 26. I believe 22 and 26, I believe. He rehearses that baptism, and he was called to preach the gospel. And that's what he says. He didn't send me to baptize. He doesn't, there's nothing wrong with baptism, but that's not the purpose that Paul was called. But to do what?
To preach the gospel.
Preach the gospel. Now, what was he called to preach the gospel as? What was he not to do when he preached the gospel? What was he to do when he preaches the gospel? In verse number 17.
He was taught.
What stands on it? Yeah. Tanya?
Not to preach with the wisdom of words.
What would that mean, the wisdom of words?
Fancy words.
Fancy.
Big words.
Big words, fancy words. But why? Why should not preach that way? Why does it say in verse number 17 that he should not preach the gospel with fancy words? Words of man's wisdom. Arthur? Okay, Vaughn?
The Christ,
cross of Christ is made of none effect.
Well,
if you have the words, you talk about a whole bunch of words, not emphasize the cross of Christ, you understand?
Not like the preachers that spiritualize the Bible, and they give these
messages,
but they don't say anything about the gospel.
Yes, they don't say anything about the gospel. It's just the wisdom of words. They're not preaching the gospel, just talk. People have always said this. Some sermons, they preach, I guess it's called
skyscraper
sermons. Now, define the skyscraper sermon, Pastor Dan.
One tall story after another.
One tall story after another. Skyscraper sermons. One tall story after another. But, no, not with the wisdom words, but plus the cross of Christ. It's the preaching of the cross that's with it. Right, did we read 3? 16, 17, 18? Did we read 18 yet?
Yes,
we
did.
Okay, so, now, what does it say about the preaching of the cross? What effect does it have in some people? In verse 18. Touch of that?
Some people think it's foolishness.
Foolishness. They don't want to accept it. You think it's crazy? And can you force people to believe the gospel?
No, you can't.
Cannot force anybody to believe the gospel. To them that perish, foolishness. What does it mean to perish? What's that mean? Any hands on that one? What does it mean to perish? Tammy?
That Zion without Christ.
Not without Christ. And what happens to them if they die without Christ?
Go to hell.
Well, same in John 3:16, that word perish is used, isn't it?
Yes.
Should not perish, but have everlasting life. Pardon?
I'll just think about Psalm 2:12, where it says, kiss the son that sees thee angry, and he perish from the way. It goes to embrace him.
Yes.
We must redeem the time again, because Satan walks about as a He seeks that you will enter in. You must redeem. You must not redeem, like it says, what's that?
Aren't this, that's to do with perish?
What?
Perish?
No, if you waste time, and like it says, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. For if we willfully sin, that we receive the knowledge of the truth.
Okay, but that's nothing to do with perish, is it? What's perish? Perish. Hellfire. Does every preacher believe in hellfire? Do all the preachers in every church? No, they don't. They shall not perish. But to those that perish, those that are bound for the lake of fire, for hell, it's foolishness, silly. I don't need the gospel. I don't need Christ. I'm good. I'm working my way to heaven. Just my own good works. But what is the true, those that are really saved, what is the gospel of them in verse 18?
It's the truth.
Any hands on that? Yes.
Okay,
so
then they're really saved
as
the gospel of salvation.
What does it say in verse 18?
Yeah,
Pastor Dan.
Power of God.
The power of God.
Gospel.
The gospel is the power of God. Gospel means good news. God's power to save and deliver. When someone gave you the gospel message, did you receive it? Did you believe it? Every one of us has to answer a question yesterday.
Yeah.
So, and when we believed it, it wasn't foolishness to us. But some people, I don't know why, but their minds are just beyond receive. It's silly, it's foolish. We're going to stop right in this verse here, but we'll pick up, Lord willing, next Thursday on verse 19. But do you have any other comments or questions before we close? Yes, Arthur?
Well, for me, when I first received, I remember when, like you said, my brother, it's not just that. Revelation 3:20. I just accepted it. There was no doubt. It was the truth. It was a positive, not positivity.
Mm-hmm.
It was a fully. But I just, with no doubt, with no questions.
That's right.
I just accepted it.
Mm-hmm. Any other,
as the truth.
Any other comments or questions you might have? Point is now, let's close. We thank the Heavenly Father for our letter to the Corinthians. The fact that he knew exactly what was happening in that church. They were divided. There were contentions. There were divisions. And he spoke to those divisions. Christ is not divided. And he prays that they may be of one mind, one spirit, one judgment. So help us as our church to be the same. We thank you for the gospel of our Savior, the good news that we're sinners, but yet Christ died for us as sinners on the cross of Calvary, that we by faith in him might have everlasting life. Help us, go with us, guide us and direct us, bring us back on the Lord's day, and may our Savior be glorified in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. All right, thank you for coming.